Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is our gospel lesson, and it is the entire lesson, and you have it actually on the outline you should have received of the sermon for this morning. Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34, under the title, Worry, Worry, Go Away. It was a simple task. Watch the leaf. Father Bear had put the young bear in charge of watching the last leaf hanging onto the tree as winter quickly approached. And he said, when that leaf falls, it will be time for us to go into the cave and go to sleep, to hibernate. So your job, watch the leaf. And he watched the leaf. For hours and hours, the young bear watched the leaf, and it didn't move. It clung to the tree. And as minute by minute passed, the young bear got more and more anxious, more and more worried. What if the leaf never fell? What would become of the young bear and his entire family in the long winter if that leaf just clung on throughout the season? And his mind tended to go to extreme places. And he began to imagine him sitting there through the whole winter, frozen in place now, watching this leaf. And then he began to think about his father and mother and his brothers and sisters off in the forest, gathering up food, gathering up the supplies, and freezing wherever they were in the forest. What if time had actually stopped? What if the leaf was never going to fall? What if he was destined to stand here watching this leaf for all of eternity? And the fear and the anxiety grew and grew, and he became more and more worried. What if? And the leaf fell. Eternity was saved because the leaf fell. Maybe that's an overstatement. The trouble is, you've been there. You've been that young bear staring at that leaf at some point in your life. You've had some worry, some problem that's been out there, and you've been thinking about it, contemplating it, focusing upon it, keeping you up at night, and it had become an eternal issue. Something very simple. The most mundane things at 3 in the afternoon are horrendous eternal problems at 3 in the morning. Do you know that? And it's amazing how the human mind works. Worry takes over and magnifies everything to make it much, much bigger than it really is. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that, and so amazingly, when you read through the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of do's and don'ts, but you come across this section that's just so human. This section of verses 24 to 34 of chapter 6, where Jesus recognizes where these people are, where their hearts and minds are, and where their hearts and minds can go because of fear, anxiety, and worry, and he wants to comfort them. He wants to give them an answer. And the answer Jesus gives, at least as I read through this text, is perspective. Gain some perspective. And so as you look at your outline, the word perspective is going to come up again and again. And the first thing is, we need perspective on what we're worrying about. And he uses verse 25 to tell them this. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Whatever it is that you're worrying about right at this moment, it's not nearly as big as you think it is. It really isn't. We tend to take these things and magnify them in our minds, and they become life-consuming problems. When I finished my vicarage year, it was actually July of 1993 in Palo Alto, 2 weeks to go before I could drive back to beautiful downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana, I got into a car accident. It was my fault. And then about 6 months later, when I was back in beautiful downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana, I got a lovely letter in the mail from a lawyer in California. Can you guess what he wanted? And so I was being sued for this car accident because this guy had a dented bumper. And the lawyer wanted to fly out to see me then, after I'd become a pastor in Utah, and depose me. Now suddenly this thing, this minor little traffic accident I had in the parking lot at Stanford Hospital had become this giant thing. And my mind let me go to terrible places. I thought, this guy's going to sue me for everything I've got. I'm going to be paying him out of my retirement funds for his $500 bumper problem. But that's what happens. We'll take the most minor things and they become huge things for us. They become huge problems. Now God loves me. So he gave me a good judge. And the judge threw the whole thing out because he realized the lawyer just wanted a trip to Utah to ski. So he threw the whole thing out of court. But that's what happens, isn't it? What is the thing in your mind right now that is a worry that you've taken and you've magnified, you put it under your emotional microscope, and you've made it larger than life? It's not that big. Even the most dire things you can come up with in your minds, even for Christians, the most life-threatening things that we come up with in our minds are conquered by God, are conquered by Christ. They don't need to be as big as we make them to be. They don't need to be life-consuming. So the first thing we need to do with worry is get a perspective on exactly what it is we're worrying about. See it for what it really is, not what it becomes as it percolates in our minds and hearts. The second thing we need to do is get a perspective on what worry can do. And here's what Jesus says in chapter 6. Which of you, by being anxious, could add a single hour to his span of life? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6, verses 27 and 34. Has worry ever helped anyone do anything? Has it ever accomplished a single thing in the history of man? Other than stress, headaches, sleeplessness? What else has worry accomplished or allowed man to accomplish? Not much. It's merely driven him to further anxiety, further fear. Now, I know that that's not terribly helpful when somebody comes up and says that to you when you're in the middle of worry, right? Well, don't worry. It's not going to help you. That's not stopping me from worrying. It's not real helpful. True as it is. Jesus said it. Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? What a simple way to put it, isn't it? What a great way to just look at it. It's not going to help me in any way. It's not going to make it go away, whatever my worry is. It's not going to bring me to resolution, just bringing me more fear, more anxiety. We go back to perspective. And worrying isn't helpful. The next perspective we need to get, and a very important one at that, is we need perspective on what God thinks of us. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God has always and will always provide and care for human beings. It has never been any different. From the moment of creation of Adam and Eve, through the centuries and centuries, generations and generations, God has provided for his people in many and various ways. He takes Adam and Eve and he puts them in a place full of food. And even when they sin and fall away from him and separate that relationship, God provides clothing for them. God provides for them. On and on we go. The children in the wilderness, they're cast in the desert. There's no food out here. God makes it rain from heaven on the valley floor. Manna. God provides for his people, and it has never been any different. That's what God thinks of his people. That's what God thinks of you. He provides time and time and time again. Now, you and I, we live in a very rich country, a very wealthy country, and most people here don't truly want for food or clothing. And therefore, we take it for granted. But God provides it. And God desires to give it. And God desires to provide abundantly for you. He desires that you should have all those things that you need, but more than that. Do you want to know what God actually thinks of you? I'm not sure, Pastor, that I do, but thank you. Do you want to know what God actually thinks of you? Go back 2,000 years to a place called Calvary. Go back 2,000 years to a place in Hebrew called Golgotha. Go back and see the face of God as he gives up his spirit that you might live. That's what God thinks of you. What God thinks of you is that his son should die. God chooses you. He chooses you in the death of his son. What does God think of you? Eternity. Everything. Having perspective on that, take that the next time you're worried. I'm not sure, I'm anxious, I'm not sure what's going to happen, I'm fearful about tomorrow. Has God not taken care of you? Is God not in charge? Is God not the Almighty Creator of the universe? And yet he thinks of you so much that he would give his son. Now suddenly that worry you had starts to drift off into nothingness. Because God cares. Finally, as Jesus is talking to the crowd here, he wants to give them another perspective, and it's one we need. We need perspective of who God is. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. God is not just the thundering God of Sinai. He's not just the God who is judge, creator, almighty, being of all time, eternal. He is Father. That's the way Jesus chooses to depict him to the people listening to the Sermon on the Mount. He did it earlier when he taught them, how should we pray? Our Father who art in heaven. And again he comes to them and says, your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. He unpacks this image of God that is not a God who's looking to squash the people of the earth. He's not a God who's looking to bring anxiety and stress into people's life. He is a God who is their loving Heavenly Father, looking to provide for them, looking to take all those things that cause them worry, all those things that cause them pain, and simply soothe them and carry them away. That's God. C.S. Lewis, in The Problem of Pain, makes the point that our problem is we don't see how much God loves us. We don't give that love enough credit. That love overcomes everything. It overcomes our pain, our stress, our worry. God actually loves us. Think about that. Think about that the next time you are caught up, even consumed with worry. God actually loves you. Your heavenly Father actually loves you enough to send his son that you'd be saved. You are actually loved. And you're loved eternally. Suddenly, worry becomes something that God can control. Whatever it is that's looming in my mind, it's really in God's hands. Have I done everything I can about this? Then I need to lay it at the feet of my heavenly Father who desires my good, who desired my eternal good by sending his son to die for my sins, and leave it with him. And understand that he's going to carry it and do what is right for me. Whatever that may be. Jesus gives a summary and really the ultimate answer to worry at the end of this chapter. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God where it may be found. For the modern church, the church of 2011, the kingdom of God is found here in word and sacrament. It is found in the giving of the means of grace. It is found as God comes to you and speaks his word. It is found as he comes to you and offers his body and blood. Here the answer to worry is found as God seeks to give you those things which will equip you to deal with the sin, the guilt, the frustration, anxiety, and fear that come up. You want an answer to your worry? You want to know where to turn? Turn to God where he may be found. Turn to him in his word. Turn to him in his sacraments. Remember you are a baptized child of God, one whom he has claimed. Suddenly worry begins to drift away. If only that little bear at the beginning would have trusted his father, the leaf was actually going to fall. Those hours and hours of worry, those hours and hours of anxiety would have been nothing. And he wouldn't have let his mind go to incredible, crazy places of what would happen if the leaf didn't fall. If he'd only remember, he had a father who loved him. He had a father who had set him apart. So it is for you. You have been set apart. You have been redeemed. You have been given grace by God, your heavenly Father. Don't worry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.